Right now it is time for Dr. Judy Wertman and Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet. You can find out more information on that, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also author of Simon Loses His Tummy, the Kindle edition, and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. Let's bring her in, Judy Wertman. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. And Jill, I think my memory isn't quite so porous, but maybe it is. I really thought I'd send you the blog, but I may have slept through the email. It was called Eating by the Clock, the clock that's inside you.
Oh, I did and, see that. It must be somewhere. All right, I apologize.
Anyway, but I and you two actually are interesting examples of people who whose whole behavior, eating, exercise, socializing, sleeping, reading, whatever you're doing, working, is driven by both an external clock and an internal clock. And what I'm referring to is something called, get this, a new, to me anyway, area of nutrition called chrononutrition, you know, meaning, you know, time. And this area, which I was totally oblivious to until I happened to see an advertisement for food that is supposed to be delivered to your home based on a evaluation of what your sleep-wake cycles is, based on what some kind of internal clock that's located in a part of your brain called the hippocampus is telling you, actually managing your whole behavior. And anyway, these foods are supposed to amplify your wakefulness and help you at other times of day be relaxed and go to sleep, supposed to help your performance or help your mood, depending on when you're eating it and depending on how closely it corresponds to your internal clock. Okay, this whole thing is totally new. I mean, in the past, like maybe 10 years ago, you know, we ate when we were hungry or when we were out to dinner and we wanted to, you know, enjoy a social meal. We slept when we were able to get the time to go to sleep and sometimes had to stay awake later because of work or wake up earlier than we wanted because of school or, you know, a baby crying or the need to finish doing some work or a long commute. But anyway, we felt that we were driving our own eating, waking, exercise, socializing, working behavior. But what we probably did not realize is that part of that is based on something, this internal clock inside of us that is also driving these behaviors, and that is driven by when the sun rises and when the sun sets. This light dark shift. And most people, you know, wake up when the sun rises and go to sleep, you know, several hours after sunset. But there are people like you both who do not adhere to that kind of schedule at all because you must wake up sometime in the middle of the night, middle of the morning, I should say, and you probably go to sleep way before the rest of us do in order to be bright and alert in the morning. And so what your internal clock is telling you to do may be totally different from what you really have to do based on your work.
Well,
that's true because I know when it just comes, I have something now. I've gone to having an egg or a piece of toast with cream cheese in the morning before coming to work. But then I next eat around noontime. I have a lunchtime. But then my dinner time is between 5 and 6. And if it goes later, Jill yells at me. And it's true because it affects the way I have to go to sleep because I end up in bed by 8 o'clock. So
that's
so
right.
my
exactly
whole,
right.
Yeah, it's totally different than what normal people live with.
Yeah. And one is aware of this if you go from one time zone to another. I mean, if you fly to Europe, for example, from, let's say, Boston or Hartford, and you're going from west to east, you have to, because everybody else is in your new city, in your new time zone, you know, is waking up at 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. But for you, it's 2 a.m., and you may be served breakfast, especially this is true on an airplane, you know, oh, we're landing in 2 hours, folks, we're serving you breakfast, and it's midnight or 1 a.m., and you think, eat? Who can eat at 1 a.m.? And yet, when you arrive at your new time zone, this is what you're going to have to do, even though your internal rhythm say no way am I going to eat at 1 a.m. And also, no way am I going to go to sleep at 11 p.m. It's only 5 p.m. back home. And so you really feel this total disconnect between what is happening inside your body, saying this is when you should wake up or go to sleep, and what's happening externally to you. Society saying you, oh, no, this is when you have to get up and go to that meeting, even though it's 2 a.m., and this is when you have to go out for a business meal, even though you're just basically thinking, maybe I should have lunch.
And so
it's 8 o'clock at night.
About a million years ago, I was reading a book. I was young and just starting out, and I was reading a book, and in this story, the super-duper globe-trotting executive he had his own, obviously, his own... he flew privately in this book.
Your own jet, probably, yeah.
But he also, because it was a global enterprise, he stayed on his time, and he had his executives in the various places. Unfortunately, they were having to do their meetings in the middle of the night. That just always struck me because I remember the day that I swore off the red eye, coming in from just because I couldn't. And I also remember, this is, again, goes back ages, when I swore off overnight flights to Europe.
That's exactly right. Because it takes just a real toll on your body.
Ultimately, yeah. It's just like, I was not anywhere near as old then as I am now. But the point is that I could do it, but then I got nailed about 48 hours later. The wrecking ball came in from the other side, and I decided that it would just be easier to not.
Exactly. But until you do something like that, you're sort of unaware of the fact that there is this internal clock that is driving these things that you think you have perfect control over. But then when you are in another time zone, you realize, no, you're really fighting something that is biologically innate. But what people have looked at is that even beyond that, there are people who they call morning risers, and they have a chrono morning, and there are people who are chrono evening, people who they call have delayed sleep. Well, for people who want to stay up late, they wouldn't call it delayed sleep. They would call it a natural time to go to sleep. But people have done countless studies, like, do they have anything else to do? Countless studies looking at how people eat and whether there's any difference between early risers and late risers. And not terribly unexpectedly, they found that people who tend to go to sleep late, not you two, people who tend to go to sleep late, the 11, midnight, watching all those evening shows that start at midnight or what have you, tend to eat more, drink more, smoke more, and, interestingly enough, eat more chocolate, drink more alcohol, and watch more television. And people who, and eat less fiber, it's a funny kind of findings, and people who wake up early tend to be healthier in general. They tend to weigh less. They tend to watch less television, probably because they're asleep before anything good is on. And they tend to eat more high fiber and more vegetables and fruit. And it's not that there's anything about this clock inside you that's making you do this, but it probably is that people who are staying up late, they may be sometimes even eating to get themselves calm enough to go to sleep, which is why they may be eating more chocolate or more sugar, because it may be harder for them to exercise in the evening when it's dark, and they're sleeping through the morning exercise routine. They tend to be heavier. Who knows? But so people are saying, well, this is not very good. Therefore, we're going to give you certain foods that are going to shift your rhythms to that early morning rhythm. And again, now there are companies that will deliver packages of various snacks and drinks and what have you to your door that put you into the proper chrononutritional rhythm or what have you. And I just thought the whole thing is so strange that people shouldn't be thinking about this sort of thing. But the one thing I wanted to say is that while I was reading all this, I realized that many, many, many years ago, like about 20 years ago, I wrote a book with another author, been called Managing Your Mind and Mood Through Food. It's out of print now, although I guess you can find it someplace. And in my premise was based on research that my husband's laboratory was doing at MIT was doing at the time, which is that if you eat a protein, you're going to bring into the brain a particular amino acid called tyrosine that's going to increase the manufacture of a chemical that's like adrenaline. It's called norepinephrine. And that chemical keeps you alert and maintains, you know, a fairly intense level of mental performance. And so my premise was, well, if you have to do something like you have to be a radio host and you have to keep your mind alert, you should be eating protein, let's say an hour, half hour, before you're really going to do this kind of mentally taxing work in order to make sure that your brain is functioning at a higher level. And this, of course, is something familiar to both of you. If you want to relax toward the end of the day, you should be eating carbohydrate because that's going to bring tryptophan into the brain and, you know, make more serotonin, which will relax you. But in addition, if you really want to be alert, you should drink coffee or anything else that contains caffeine, because that's been shown to be, you know, a substance that has the most, you know, alert enhancing potential. And if you want to really be sort of fuzzy-headed and dull and not able to formulate a sentence, have a high-fat meal, because that's been shown to really sort of dull the brain. And sort of based on that, I sort of developed all these scenarios for how you should be eating under various circumstances, which I won't go into now. But it was sort of a small way of tweaking this chrononutrition, although I never heard the word didn't exist at that time, you know, to make sure that you are working at your full potential when you have to and that you're relaxing when you can.
Very good. Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
But nobody these days noticed what I'd written.
Well, we will see that they do. Thank you very much.
Okay, have a good week. Bye-bye.
Dr. Judy Wershman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy every Thursday morning here on Robin Hood Radio. We also rebroadcast her during the week and weekend.